Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman, and we're here again with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and we're going to go back into our study and study a little bit more about this assurance of salvation, the letter A. If you remember last week, I welcome you to the study, and I appreciate you. I really admire you for honoring the Lord's Word and caring about what the Lord says, and caring about knowing the truth and knowing what God says rather than what this world and all the smart people assume that God says, rather than what He actually says in His Word. So I admire you for that. God bless you for that. Last week we went over and we started on the study of the tenses of salvation, if you remember. We talked about the first tense of salvation and began a specific study under the penalty of sin, if you remember. Now, the verse that we're talking about is the verse over in 2 Corinthians and chapter 1 and verse 10, if you remember. It says, "Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver." Now, we talked about that could be confusing in the Word of God, and we know as Christians that there's nothing in God's Word that's confusing. Only men make God's Word confusing. God's Word is the Bible. The Lord even went as far as saying the simplicity of Christ, and that we are to the Lord honors those that honor Him. Any man that tries to get in the Word of God and try to outsmart God or to manipulate the Lord, he's going to be made the fool, not God. And we see that every day with all these people that act smarter than the Lord and try to correct Him and correct His Word. God's Word doesn't need correcting, and why would you serve a God that needed His words corrected anyway? I wouldn't trust a God that needed His words corrected, would you? So we're talking about the three tenses of salvation, and what are they? Well, the first tense of salvation is the penalty of sin. Remember, we are saved from the penalty of sin. The second one was being saved from the power of sin. And the third one is being saved from the very presence of sin. Now, these are not three different scenarios of salvation, and not three situations of salvation that you have to apply for or that you have to do individually. When you were born again and you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, every one of these came to pass, even though they are not accounted for yet. Some of them are not accounted for, but that's why we're going over them. Why are we going over them? Because in the Scriptures, the word salvation is used and the word saved is used. And whenever we're studying the Scriptures and we see them words, and what we're fixing to go into and study is the, or what we're in is the assurance of salvation, remember? But we can't really go into the study of the assurance of salvation in depth until we understand what the Scriptures are saying and know this truth about the different tenses of salvation. Because when we read about salvation in the future while we're studying about the assurance of salvation, we want to know what tense. What is God talking about when He says salvation? Where He actually says it in our study. Is He talking about the penalty of sin, or is He talking about the power of sin, or is He talking about the presence of sin? Which one is it? So we need to know these things. All right, last week we talked about being saved from the penalty of sin, and we went under one topic that was, what is the penalty of sin? Remember that? I gave you all the Scriptures, and just to recap briefly about it, what is the penalty of sin? The penalty of sin, the wages of sin, is death. Death is, if you just use the word death alone will describe the penalty of sin. The Lord told Adam in the garden, "In the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die." And that's what done it. Whenever Adam and Eve sinned, and last week I told you it was an apple that they ate. There's no proof of that. And as a matter of fact, the more you read your Bible, the more it seems like that it was not an apple. It was another fruit, the fruit of a tree. And the Bible does lean us to believe, but I'm not going to tell you what that is right now, that it was not an apple. So I said apple. So if any of y'all got mad at me for talking about apples last week, I'm sorry, okay? So we'll move on. Death of the body is one penalty of sin, and death of the soul, and hell, and the lake of fire, which is called the second death. And then also the death of the spirit, which actually happened in the Garden of Eden whenever man fell. So man returns to the dust, his body returns to the dust, and the spirit returned to God, like the Bible said, and who gave it. And then the soul actually goes into hell, awaiting to be thrown into the lake of fire. Okay, that's the penalty of sin. But let's move on to the next category. Now, I showed you all the scriptures and gave them to you last week. I hope that you're taking these down and that you're looking at them, okay? There's no sense in us studying if you're not going to look in the book. When you start looking in that book, God the Holy Ghost is going to bless you above all blessing, and you're going to be so glad, and you're going to start drawing nearer to the Lord and finding the truth out, and you're going to get comforted, and I mean, just good things are going to happen. Okay, but you got to do it on purpose. The way that you study God's Word is on purpose, because there's everything in this world that wants to keep you from studying God's Word. The next topic we're going to look at under the penalty of sin is not, the first one was, what is the penalty of sin? The second one is, when am I actually saved from the penalty of sin? Well, when am I actually saved from the penalty of sin? It seems like we would be talking about a time frame there, right? Okay, well, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, the scripture says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." Okay? Two portions of scripture right there in that verse. It's the two of them telling us who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. And it has to do with believing. Notice it did say baptism in there, and it's talking about water baptism, but it's not talking about as far as that being part of your salvation. Now listen to the verse very carefully. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So part of being saved, or the issue of being saved, when am I actually saved? When am I saved from the penalty of sin? The Bible says, he that believeth. Okay, and then in addition it said, and is baptized, because that's what the Lord said for us to do. As a step of obedience, it's added in there. Mark put it in there. But look at the second part of the verse. He dismissed the part about baptism as far as being damned. So what actually saves you? It's believing. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So see, baptism wasn't in the part that damned you. The Bible says that we're already condemned before we get saved. We're under the wrath of God, and you're already damned. Why are you damned? Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. So it's not baptism that saves you. It says he that believeth. Okay, you're saved right then, and is baptized as a step of obedience, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So see, baptism has absolutely nothing to do with you being born again. So there it is. When am I actually saved from the penalty of sin? You're saved from the penalty of sin at the moment that you believe on Jesus Christ and put your trust in the Lord, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what the Bible says. I'm not telling you what Thurman thinks and Brother TV thinks. I'm telling you what the Bible says, even though that is what I think. I think what God thinks. So should you. Listen to this. John chapter 3, verse 14 through 18 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth," there's that believing again, "whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Notice all the times that scripture alone right there talked about believing. He that believeth, believeth, believeth. That is the time when you are saved from the penalty of sin. God saves you from the penalty of sin. What's the penalty of sin? The death of the body is going to, God promises you another body, but that body's going to go back. But he saves you from the second death, the lake of fire and hell. And the penalty of sin has been removed when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice in that second verse where in John chapter 3 there that we read, every time it talked about believing, there was no such thing as baptism mentioned in that verse. You notice that? Okay, so baptism has nothing to do with you actually being born again. Baptism is something that takes place after salvation has already taken place. Okay? One more verse. John chapter 5, verse 24. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Wow, isn't that encouraging? But is passed from death unto life. The Bible says that if you hear God's word and you believe on him that sent, you believe on him that sent, and that's Jesus talking, believe on the Father and believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said that you have everlasting life and that you shall not come into condemnation. Jesus promised you right there that if you believe on him, you get eternal life. Write it that very second, and you will never, ever come under condemnation. God will never point his finger at you and condemn you. Isn't that encouraging? What a wonderful God. What a wonderful, wonderful God. Why would you want to try to put your trust in something? Why would you want to put your trust in any other God? There's no other God that's ever been and ever going to be. Muhammad don't promise that. He don't promise you that. He'd be stupid, too, because he can't fulfill it. Buddha, all the rest of those knuckleheads that claim to be so powerful and everything else, and they're still in the grave and didn't resurrect. You can find their bones. But they made all these foolish sayings and all these things and had followers and everything else. But they never made no promises like that and gave eternal life to people and backed it up. When am I saved from the penalty of sin? Well, you're saved from the penalty of sin. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in him. When am I saved from the penalty of sin? The Bible says, if we confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's when you are saved from the penalty of sin, is when you believe. In thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Right then. Right that very second. It takes place right then. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him, the Bible says. Okay, let's go to the next one. Talking about the penalty of sin, remember? The first tense of salvation. We are saved from the penalty of sin. What is the penalty of sin? When am I saved from the penalty of sin? And how am I saved from the penalty of sin is the next one. How am I saved from the penalty of sin? What actually makes it happen? Well, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The Bible says, who loved me and gave himself for me. And the Bible says, in the life that which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, what are we talking about? How am I saved by the penalty of sin? Well, I'm saved by the penalty of sin. How am I saved from the penalty of sin? It's by the power of God. By the power of God and by the gift of God. I'm saved from the penalty of sin by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the gift of God, and by the grace of God. What do you mean grace? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, if we could get to heaven by something that we would do, that we could do, that we had earned to get to heaven, you know what we'd do? We'd stand up in God's face and brag about it. And say, I don't need nothing from you, God, you know, because I can get there myself. That's what a lot of people are doing, and they're falling in hell every second because of that. The Bible says, for by grace, you don't deserve it. God just wants you to have it. And by his kindness and his goodness and the way that the Almighty is, he wants to give it to you for absolutely nothing. And that's the way we have to accept it. For by grace are you saved, through faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How am I saved from the penalty of sin? By the power of God, by the gift of God, and by the grace of God. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. You don't have to jot these down unless you just particularly want to. But, I mean, that's fine because I'm going to give them all to you afterwards. The Bible says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. I'm saved by the power of God. How am I saved from the penalty of sin? By the power of God and the gift of God and the grace of God. I'm going to read you one more. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So, we're talking about the first tense of salvation, which is being saved from the penalty of sin. And how am I saved from the penalty of sin? We're saved from the penalty of sin by the power of God, by the gift of God, and by the grace of God. You see the scriptures there that we read? Okay, let's see the next one. And this will be the final one that we're going to use as far as looking under the penalty of sin, being saved from the penalty of sin. Who has control over the penalty of sin? What's the Bible say? Who has control over the penalty of sin? Well, the Bible says, excuse me, I got to fix something. Who has control over the penalty of sin? Well, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and verse 12 through 14, you probably know this. It says, and further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Who has control over the penalty of sin? The Bible says that he that sits on the great white throne. The Bible says, who has control over the penalty of sin? God the Father has control over the penalty of sin. He decides who goes in the lake of fire and who goes into hell. The Bible says that God the Son has control over the penalty of sin. He's the one also in the Godhead that has control over who goes into the lake of fire and who goes into eternal punishment. Who has control over the penalty of sin? God the Holy Ghost has control over the penalty of sin. Let me read you one other verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, beginning there. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Now, no unsaved man will appear at the judgment seat of Christ. He will appear before God at the white throne judgment. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. In other words, you're paying attention to this. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live for them unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more, because he resurrected, of course, and went ascended back to heaven. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. You see who did that? All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself, brought us back, and took us back to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you to, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A lot of scripture, but we can handle it, can't we? First tense of salvation, the penalty of sin. What is the penalty of sin? The death of the body, the death of the soul, the death of the spirit, eternal separation from God in the lake of fire for eternity, the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, the penalty of sin. When am I saved from the penalty of sin? The Bible says, whosoever believeth in him, confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him, the Lord said he give eternal life to. How am I saved from the penalty of sin? By the power of God, by the gift of God, and by the grace of God. Who has control over the penalty of sin? God the Father does, God the Son does, and God the Holy Ghost does. They have the control. The Bible says, I got a graveyard that's right down at the end of the road. Not a graveyard, but it's a lady that has a business down at the end of my road down here. And she sells tombstones and all the grave markers and stuff like that, and got a lot of marble and granite and stuff like that down there. And, you know, anybody that comes to visit her has bitterness and grieving and going through hard times and stuff like that. And I walk to the mailbox just about every day. And I go past it, and it reminds me of that verse that says that no man hath the power to retain. No man hath the power to retain the spirit. And it says that every man's going to die, and that he has no way to keep that from happening. And it says there is no discharge in that war. When it comes to death, you know how many people have died that have died? All of them. Everyone that died, died. There hadn't been one man that has avoided or defeated death. And that's a major problem with mankind. That's what he's striving for. Every generation, is in their craziness and their vanity, has been looking for a reason, some way to keep themselves alive. But you can't, because somebody a lot more powerful than us, I mean, there's not even comparison, but God's in charge of who has control over the penalty of sin. You know, that ought to scare the daylights out of somebody. God has control over the penalty of sin. So that's the first tense of salvation. Saved from the penalty of sin. Okay, so we've seen the scriptures and what the scriptures tell us about what is the penalty of sin, when am I saved from the penalty of sin, how am I saved from the penalty of sin, and who has control over it. So we'll move on to the next one. Saved from the power of sin. Now, why are we studying this? Remember why we're studying this. If you've been born again and you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you and you meant it, and I'm sure you did. The Bible says that you wouldn't ask if you didn't mean it. So you're born again. You have God's promises that you're saved. Then the reason that we're studying this before we go into the assurance of salvation is because you need to know when you're reading the scriptures and you're studying the scriptures like we're commanded to do and rightly dividing the word of truth, you need to divide and know when you're reading and you see the word saved and salvation, what part of salvation is the scripture talking about? Is it talking about the penalty of sin? Or is it talking about the power of sin? Or is it talking about the presence of sin? All of them are salvation. All of them have been, the Lord has taken care of for you and is taking care of for you and is going to take care of for you. It's already in the past. But there is your salvation began when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your salvation is going to be complete when you see the Lord face to face and you are with the Lord. That's when your salvation will be completed as far as being out of the presence of sin. Your salvation's got a lot more to it than just receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior is what gives you what the Lord you what justifies the Lord giving you salvation, and everything else is included. And that's what we're going over right now, is what is included in your salvation. And there's a lot to salvation, but none of it so difficult that we can't understand. It's the simplicity of Christ. It's beautiful. And I'm glad that you want to understand it. So the next lesson that we have, we're going to go back on this. We're going to take our time, like I said, and it might take 3 or 4 recordings to do this, but we're going to go over it and we're going to study it. And then when we get into the assurance of salvation and we start studying the scripture where it talks about salvation, you're going to know what it's talking about. So the second tense of salvation is what we're going to go into this next time. And we're going to talk about saved from the power of sin. The power of sin. And we'll talk about what all that means whenever we get into that. Now, let me give you the scriptures for today. You ready? Okay. We began... let's see here. We began on when am I saved from the penalty of sin? Here are the scriptures. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. John chapter 3, verse 14 through 18, and verse 36. John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 6, verse 38 through 47. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 13. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 16. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 through 13. Then we talked about how am I saved from the penalty of sin. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Then we talked about who has control over the penalty of sin. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12 through 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 through 21. And then Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 through 15. Okay? And there's your verses. You be sure to read those over, and don't be ashamed of God's Word. The Bible says that the Lord is not ashamed to be our God. And the Bible also says, whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. Don't you dare be ashamed of the Lord. Okay, well, that does it for today, and we will we'll get back together and study God's Word some more, and we'll talk about saved from the power of sin in the next lesson. The Lord bless you, and thank you for honoring the Lord. Bye-bye.